Almost. It's a Monday.
It's a Monday, Wendy. You can't be... Don't be hard on yourself.
I got a bad case of the moon.
Oh, no.
Moon day.
Yep.
Ba booba 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 by yourself.
What is... Wait, what happened to you? You were fine, and now you're
I'm
very...
I'm like Sybil.
Yeah, there's 17 of you in there.
Kind of crowded, let me tell you.
Very crowded in there. What is that line from Somebody's Got a Case of the Moon Days? What's that from?
From that movie,
is that Office Space?
Office Space.
That's where it's from.
Isn't it?
I think it is. Very funny movie.
That is a super funny movie, which reminds me of The Office quite a bit.
Well, they both have the word office in them.
But no, the whole, I know it involves an office, but that main guy reminds me of Jim. A little bit.
There is
no who's played the father of Brady Bunch guy. Gary, what's his name?
Gary Cole?
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
He is, he might be my favorite actor of all time.
Gary Cole is your favorite actor of all time.
Yes.
That's, what an honor.
He's pretty good in that.
Jasmine, see if you can get Gary Cole on so that Wendy can tell him that he is the greatest actor
of
all time.
Don't embarrass me.
That's fantastic.
You know, you weren't here on Friday, and you were out doing the Goodwill and Tree Time Tree Trade-In program.
Yeah.
And going to listeners' houses and picking up body bags.
Yes. Tree bags that looked like I was carting away a loved one. Or what should have been a loved one. I guess you wouldn't kill a loved
one. Leffen Sons.
Right. Bring out your dead.
So we had Eric Griffin in, who is a stand-up comic who was on I'm Dying Up Here, and I was super nervous. I get nervous around the strangest people.
Why were you nervous around him?
I don't know. We've had him on before. He was super nice then. He was super nice on Friday.
No reason to get nervous.
No, I mean, Ann Wilson, I got very nervous. She was not a great interview, and we tried really hard, but I still love her.
Yeah.
I'd still give her another shot.
Yeah. Yep.
There are just certain people I get nervous, and Gary Cole would be one of them. Oh. It's such a bunch of randos.
That's peculiar, because he seems like somebody that wouldn't make anybody nervous.
I know. I don't know what it is. I just have very weird nerve endings.
You're blaming your nerve endings.
I am.
Oh, interesting. Tomorrow, I just found out, I don't think you knew this either, that Robert Klein, who is honestly... If I had a top shelf of idols that I've always wanted to talk to and never have, Robert Klein is way up on that top shelf. I've loved his work since I was a little kid. He'll be on, and I'm not nervous at all. I can't believe I'm finally going to get a chance to talk to him.
Well, we don't have a lot of time with him, and Jasmine worked pretty hard on this.
I think she did.
I
know you did, Jasmine. And thank you. And because he doesn't really have anything to promote other than being back on Will and Grace.
Yeah, he plays Grace Adler's father on Will and Grace infrequently. He's only on a handful of episodes.
And he's not touring anywhere. I think he's touring in Florida or something.
Yeah.
So we only get him for a short amount of time. And you can... I just love him. I want to just listen to you interview him.
Well, you can ask questions.
No, because see, now he's making me nervous, too.
Nah. When I was a little kid, he was in a movie called Rivals. So it's him, Joan Hackett, the late Joan Hackett. Do you remember her? She was, what would people know her from? I'm trying to think of what people would know her from. She was in a lot of movies in the 60s and the 70s.
I know the name.
And a little boy named Scott Jacoby, who you would probably best know as... Remember that made-for-TV movie, Bad Ronald, with the kid who murdered a neighbor and then the mother hides him
inside a
room in a house? That was Scott Jacoby. He used to be on every made-for-TV movie in the 60s and the 70s. So Robert Klein was in that movie, and I was a kid, and it was an R-rated movie. It was a really rough movie, not for kids, but I begged my parents. I wanted to see that movie so badly. They showed coming attractions of it at the... We used to go to the drive-in every Sunday, and that was what was playing at the drive-in next week was Rivals, and I loved Robert Klein. I was 8 years old, I think, or 9 years old at the oldest, and they were explaining to me that, no, that wasn't going to happen. You could tell by the preview, it was definitely not for kids. Despite Scott Jacoby being in it, not a kid's movie. I will tell Robert Klein that.
All right, that'll be a quick interview.
Could you just quickly tell me what happens in Rivals, since my parents wouldn't let me see it when I was a kid?
What was it about? I never even heard of that movie.
If I remember right from the previews, Joan Hackett and her husband got a divorce, And she starts going out with a new guy, played by Robert Klein. And then the kid, Scott Jacoby, is not too pleased that his mother is already dating and that the attention that should be going to him or his dad is being thrown Robert Klein's way.
Ah.
You know, if I remember right. I think that's what the rivals were, is that all of a sudden this kid has a new rival in this potential new boyfriend. He was also in a great episode of Love American Style about a guy that was going to get a vasectomy. Did you ever see that one?
Yeah, I love how you always say vas.
Vasectomy.
Vasectomy.
Vasectomy. The password is vasectomy.
Why don't you bring that up?
I'll bring that one up.
That was Love American Style. I totally remember that.
Yeah.
And you said, and I said,
I believe the dad in that was played. Now, I could be wrong, but I think the dad was played by the seldom seen Ed Begley Sr.
Oh.
I think.
Boy, this is a lot of information.
Yeah, I'm going to throw all this at Robert Klein tomorrow. Also, when I was a kid, I would always, when the TV preview would come on Sunday,
yes,
right, with the Sunday
magazine.
Paper. Of what was to come that week. We didn't get the TV guy because we weren't rich, Wendy. We
I
were simple people.
I thought you did
people.
Get the TV
no,
guide.
No, we only... later on as an adult, I started paying the $1.75 to get the TV guide. But then it was just the TV preview that came with the Sun-Times.
And why would you pay $1.75? If I know it was smaller and more succinct and it was really good for hiding your money when you played Monopoly with people.
I never thought about that.
That's
but
what
you're
I
onto
used.
Something. Yeah.
But why would you pay for it when you could get your TV guide for free?
The TV preview was coming for free.
Yeah.
But then the TV guide, I later realized, had far, far, far better articles.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't even close. And then there was another one. What was that one called? It wasn't TV preview, but it was bigger than TV guide and TV preview. It was like almost the size of the newspaper. And that one, I think, came in the Tribune, and that one was just awful.
Yeah.
That didn't have any good information. It told you what was coming on, but nothing beyond that. But when the TV preview would come, I would circle all the, like I would go through the Tonight Show's lineup Monday through Friday, and I would circle the days that I could not miss. Like if Robert Klein was showing up on a day, and it's ridiculous because where else would I be at 10:30 on a Thursday? But I would circle it. I was 11 years old. I didn't have that pressing of a schedule. Mom, Dad, remind me, 10:30 on Thursday, I must watch the Tonight Show because
Robert Klein. They let you stay
up? Yeah, I watched it every night.
How old were you?
Oh, it was all through grade school.
You didn't have a bedtime?
Well, I had to be in bed by 10:30, but I had a TV in my room, so I would watch first The Tonight Show, then The Tomorrow Show, then The Fugitive. I was
so back
sleep.
Then you were getting like, what, 5 hours of sleep a night? And that's what you get now, don't
go
you?
Go to sleep around 2 and I'd get up at 7, so 5 hours.
Okay, Jasmine... He's a robot. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't use the facilities anywhere.
Yeah.
I very rarely see you eat unless someone bought you lunch.
Well,
unless we go out to lunch, you never really, every once in a while you'll bring a Cliff Bar or something in, but
I don't bring in a chicken.
You don't
relieve
yourself.
No.
You don't eat. You don't sleep.
Right.
How does he do it?
I don't know.
I really don't.
Well, when you say it that way, it does make me sound
superhuman,
extravagant, but
not extravagant.
I do get some sleep. I don't sleep a lot, you know, and I don't eat a lot. And I don't use the bathroom. That's dirty. That's for, you know, that's for amateurs. So, what was my point in all this? Oh yeah, so I
would
lay
circle.
There and I would watch the Tonight Show. Pretty much every night, and then you couldn't turn it up when Tom Snyder started.
Tom Snyder
I'm not going to go anywhere else but watch Tom Snyder. And then The Fugitive is perfect.
I did not have a television in my room till I was, I don't even remember how old. It was a bad black and white one.
Like a Philco?
No, it was.
No?
It could have been a Sharp back then.
Oh, yeah.
It was like a bright yellow. It was kind of really hip.
Sense. Sharp was big then.
I don't think Panasonic made TVs at that point.
No.
I know I had my round Panasonic radio, like a ball and chain. That was really cool. And
yeah.
I had a bright, I liked yellow at the time.
Yeah.
I hate it now.
Huh?
A bright yellow cassette deck made by Panasonic. Maybe it was a Panasonic TV.
They were pretty big in electronics back then.
And it
so
was bright
it
yellow,
been.
But, you know, it was only black and white.
Yeah.
Did you have a color one in your room?
We had a color one downstairs in the living room.
Right, so do
but
we.
But my brother and I both had, and my parents. No, my parents' TV in their room was in color, but my brother had a black and white in his room, and I had a very small black and white in my room. Very small.
And then the knob would break and you'd have a set of pliers that...
I never saw anything on Channel 32, ever, because of that. Because there was a switch that snapped off, I think, the day we bought it. And then you'd have to take, yeah, either pliers or your teeth sometimes.
You could get electrocuted, you know.
Yeah, I know.
He liked living dangerously. Yeah. A guy getting 5 hours of sleep and
well, the only
biting
thing
the TV.
Good on Channel 32 at the time was Cartoon Town. There wasn't anything else. There was no Fox TV. They didn't have a network yet, so it was all local stuff.
And the Sox games were on 44, I believe.
They were on 32 and then 44, right? Yeah. Yeah.
I think just 44, but I could be wrong.
Now 32 for a bit, but 44 for
longer.
But
always UHF.
Yeah.
So you're a Cubs fan then, because you couldn't watch the Sox games.
No, I watched them both.
How'd you get the...
Downstairs TV.
Oh.
Yeah, they weren't on at 10:30 at night.
You going to talk to Robert Klein about all this?
Yes, I'm going to bring all this up with Robert Klein. I wouldn't be surprised if Robert Klein said, I know I only agreed to 15 minutes, but this is so stimulating, I'm not going anywhere. You have me for the rest of the day, sir. I would not be shocked if that happened. Now, here's a thing I won't have time to bring up with Robert Klein, but I want to tell you. There was a time at Second City here where the cast included both Robert Klein and David Steinberg, who were so high up on my list of the best all-time comics. And in my head, I always imagined, wow, the magic that must have taken place with those guys together on stage, Robert Klein and David Steinberg. But then I read in a book about Second City that those guys hated each other and didn't get along at all and didn't want to be in scenes together.
Really?
Yeah, because they were both... There's a similarity
similar,
to them.
Similar, yeah.
That I think maybe if you're Robert Klein, you think Steinberg's taken from me. And if you're David Steinberg, you go, wow, Robert Klein's really lifting some of my persona. So I talked to David Steinberg about that a couple of years ago, and he said it was true, and he felt awful about it. He said, when I look back on that, I realize how talented he was. And the fact that we were fighting all throughout our tenure together really makes him upset that he really should have enjoyed it, but he didn't enjoy it. They were rivals. They didn't get along.
But is that why he was in the movie Rivals?
Yeah, because of that.
That was the impetus?
Yeah, that all. Thank you for tying that all together. Yes.
I imagine there's a ton of competition when you're all just starting out.
Sure.
But I like to help each other. I like
right.
to see that.
Right.
There is a lot of animosity, though, and I can only imagine, like, people who want to be on SNL, like,
yeah.
I can imagine the competition is fierce, and I could see where maybe you'd talk badly about another person to try and get yourself in there. Does that still go on? I know for a while it did.
I think there's probably some of it, although whenever you hear the people that have made it big talk about those days, their early Second City days or Improv Olympic days, IO as it's now called, most of them tend to get the team mentality. Now, both those guys, Robert Klein and David Steinberg, were in groups then, like Second City type improv groups, and then realized separately, maybe I'm better off on my own. Maybe I don't fit the construct of having six or seven coworkers and relying on them. And both of them did really, really well as stand-up solo acts.
Yeah.
It was hard for me because I love the camaraderie when I was doing improv stuff of having other people bouncing stuff off of. And
it's
an adjustment. It's way more fun. Yeah.
All right. Well, David Steinberg doesn't even look like his former self. What did he look like? Dark hair?
Yeah, kind of thin, slight. Now he's a director. He directs TV episodes. He had a couple of movies. He directed some Burt Reynolds movies.
He's 76 years old.
He's great, too. Talking to him was such a highlight for me, too, because I just loved him. I saw him in Las Vegas when I was 13 at the MGM.
Wait, were you there for a bachelor party? Phil did a lot of growing up, like before he was even like 15.
My friend Mookie was 11 and he was getting married, so we all took our big wheels to Las Vegas for the weekend.
The weird thing is I could see that happening.
No, my parents, we were doing a long vacation in California, so the routing was we flew into Las Vegas, spent 3 days there. This is with my mom and dad and brother and some family friends. And one of the nights we saw at the MGM Grand, we were staying there, it was David Steinberg opening for Helen Reddy. You can't pass that up.
No.
Who's going to pass that up? And when I talked to David Steinberg, I remembered a bunch of his act from that night. And he goes, you don't. And I repeated it almost word for word. And he goes, I don't even remember. He goes, I know that's my material, but I don't even remember it. It's so long ago.
Where did you talk to him? Was there a little meet and greet?
Here at WGN. No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
He was a guest on the phone because Second City was having an anniversary reunion, okay. And they flew in all
I'm
these
sorry,
people.
I thought you were talking to him backstage in Vegas with Mookie.
No.
All right.
We had to be in bed by 8 o'clock. We were very young back then. But he did this joke about, I can't do it on the air. No, it's not dirty. It's just some people would be offended by it. But it was such a funny joke. It was about the state of how many TV cop shows there were. That's all I can really tell you without going into detail. But I told him the joke, and it was such a perfectly crafted joke from, you know, the setup to the punchline, the way it paid off. And I said, I learned so much. I said, you know, not only from watching you on The Tonight Show, but sitting there just watching you on stage, that's the first big name stand-up comic I ever saw in my life. And I just sat there so mesmerized because it was one thing to see them on a little box in your bedroom.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, David Steinberg was right there. I'm watching him. It was amazing to me.
Here's a little moment that you have worked with Steve Carell and went to Second City with him, correct?
Yeah.
Well, Steve Carell and David Steinberg are pitching their comedy interview series called Inside Comedy to cable and streaming networks. So they're shopping their Inside Comedy series around right as we speak.
So Steve would host that? I hope he would.
The series hosted by Steinberg and executive produced by him and Carell ran on Showtime for seasons from 2012 to 2015.
Oh, it's already happened.
The pay cable network has not ordered more seasons since, and the rights recently reverted to Carell and Steinberg. They're now trying to find a new home for the show.
Oh,
so it hasn't been on since 2015, and this was just dated yesterday.
Oh.
Or 2 days ago.
Oh.
So they're shopping it around.
I hope they get it somewhere.
Well, maybe you should have Steve Carell or David Steinberg on to, you know,
to drum up some
interest.
All right. I'll do that. I'm interested in that. I wonder if Robert Klein and Steinberg now would sit down and have like a civil conversation or if there's still some bitterness. David Steinberg seemed very regretful that it didn't go so well. You know,
ask Robert Klein tomorrow, but ask him at the end so we can at least talk to him for 10 minutes.
He's angry about it. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a quick break. Judy Pilak will be by. She'll give you the news. And then there's more of us, Bill and Wendy. And it's WGN. Judy, thanks so much.
Absolutely.
You were at the Blackhawks game last night.
I was.
Not bringing them luck. What happened?
And you know, it's so funny because it happened so quick. They lost so quickly. So, you know, you watch the whole game. Now they're in overtime. We're having a great time. It was my daughter's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And then just boom.
I know.
Because they have that 5-minute period now in overtime where there's six players.
It's 3-on-3.
Right. And it's just so easy. Or I guess the way you look at it, hard to score. But
well, you make one mistake.
Right.
And,
the guy gets the puck and is there by himself.
Yep.
And it's over because.
I know.
Yeah.
And
right.
That's what happened.
Although I usually like the Blackhawks' chances in a 3-on-3 because they've got a lot of guys that are conducive to that sort of game.
Absolutely. It's like a pickup game.
Yeah.
Right? Like you can see, okay, there. But it's so funny. My daughter, who is so happy and had such a great day, they lose.
Did it crush her?
I mean, to the point where I had to talk her down.
Kaylee,
she just is always like that.
Yeah.
She takes it so hard.
Oh, man.
That's a good fan.
Yeah. I guess, but come on.
Did
and then
some of us have a heart, Judy, unlike yourself.
She saw the silver lining, which was, well, at least they got a point.
That is the silver lining.
That is true.
Right. So true.
Yeah. So then she was.
But that's very exciting, that 3-on-3. I like that.
I do too. And we had great seats. Thank you, WGN.
Yeah.
So it was really nice. Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry they didn't win. But again, they got one out of the 2 points.
Right.
We're not doing much with the power plays, though, again.
Right.
There Although we did score on the power play yesterday.
It's been a while since, and will be probably
we need
until.
More of that.
It was. I found the Oilers to be very aggressive. They were slamming our guys
Edmonton
around
is.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
And you wonder if that has.
If you look at the totals in almost any Blackhawks game, when you look at the amount of hits, the other team always hits us almost 2-1 as opposed to us hitting them. Always.
And why? So
we just don't play a physical game.
Right.
We play more of a finesse.
But I feel like if you get hit even once or twice, it takes a toll, right?
Oh, sure.
So
Yeah.
Maybe we need to start hitting a little bit.
You think
back.
That's the answer?
Alex DeBrinket.
I feel like it's never the case.
He went after a guy who was 7 inches taller
than
him.
Because he's not that tall.
No, he's not.
We need an Andrew Shaw back.
Yeah.
He was our aggressor.
Feisty.
Yeah, we don't really have an aggressor, right?
But Andrew Shaw wasn't a bigger guy either. He was
but he was
like
a little
physical.
Yeah. But yeah, he was.
I'd like him to come back because then my son Dylan can wear the jersey again because he's got a Shaw.
Please don't tell me that because all my jerseys have players who aren't on the team anymore.
Well, if you get a Hall of Famer, like Michael, my son Michael got Stan Mikita because you can wear that at all times.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Get a classic player.
Is Hossa on another team?
No.
What I said.
Well,
Someone said he's retired.
He is technically...
The rights to Marian Hossa belong to another team.
Okay. The same one that...
But he will not play again.
Right.
Okay.
And he will probably come back here to retire when he officially retires.
I thought that all happened already.
No.
I thought we already...
No.
Okay. No. All right. Because we were talking about the Hossa
jersey.
No, because
of the cap, right? They allowed him to go elsewhere, but he's not like on the bench.
Gotcha.
I don't even think he's on the roster.
No. Right. Okay.
He's not
can have
whatever
he wants.
But we have a Hossa jersey too. Jim has that. Yeah. And that can be worn whenever.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And I have Duncan Keith, who hopefully will be
He'll
here
be
a long time.
He'll be a Blackhawk a long time.
Yeah.
Forever. Speaking of sports, really quickly. Friday night, the World Series game went 18 innings. It's the longest.
Oh, my God.
Ended at 2:30 a.m. I watched.
I made it till about 1.
And then
I'm like, I can't believe this.
Did you notice this? When they would show the crowd. Now, Los Angeles crowds, for the Dodgers especially, are always criticized because... In any other city, when your team makes the championship, the city goes nuts. It's not that way in Los Angeles.
I was there.
Yeah, Judy,
so you know.
When they won, we were expecting traffic. No, we went out to dinner. It was no one on the roads. No one. We were probably more animated than anyone.
Right. When they would cut to the stands, like if a guy would hit a foul ball or whatever was happening and you had to show the audience there, there's empty seats everywhere.
Wow.
Not at the beginning of the game, but as the game went later. And I understand.
People in LA are always late.
Well, they're late getting there, but then they also leave early.
Oh, the traffic.
Think about it. If it were the Cubs or the White Sox, it wouldn't matter what time of the night it was.
Right.
18 innings. There wouldn't be an empty seat anywhere.
But, you know, well, Sox Park would.
But, you know, the 405 is probably jammed, and then the 101.
Yeah, the 405 and the 101.
I just say that because it's Saturday Night Live. But yeah, I know California, it's a different world
out
there.
It's not that big of a deal, the fact that the team is playing. Even last night, as you watched the last few innings of the game, there were empty seats all over the place. Again, in Chicago, we would stay till the bitter end. You want to see how it ends.
But again, we don't have that many, right? They were going, since they knew LA was going to win yesterday or lose yesterday, the Dodgers, the guys on TV were going through all their stats.
Yeah.
And they had won a million times.
They've won a bunch, but it's been, I think, 30 years since they won. They've been in the World Series last year.
Oh, they've been in it. I see.
They've been in
actually
it, but they haven't won it.
Yeah. Because, of course, then I was kind of rooting for them because I'm always for the underdog after a while. But whatever.
I'm ready for baseball to be over. And
it's
that's
over.
A good
it's
thing.
Over.
You
yep.
got your wish.
Yeah,
your
I would
wish.
Never have watched 18 innings of that game.
In Halloween news, there's a man
Halloween.
Named Brian Goldbach. And Bryant, he and his son dressed as historical figures, which sounds fine. A lot of Halloween costumes are historical figures. So you say, what's wrong with that? Brian and his son are history buffs. So they dressed as historical figures. Here's a tweet that Brian just sent out about his costumes and the way that they were treated, he and his son. Tonight, me and my family went to the Trail of Treats at the riverfront. They had a wonderful time and are very happy, although he spells happy H-A-S-P-P-Y, which isn't correct, but that doesn't matter, are very happy with their candy haul. But, this is again the words of Brian Goldbach, of Kentucky. Let me see what city in Kentucky. All you need to know is Kentucky. But I need to speak out about. Anyone who knows us knows that we love history and often dress the part of historical figures. Tonight, as we walked, we saw people dressed as murderers, devils, serial killers, blood and gore of all sorts, and nobody batted an eye. My little boy and I dress as historical figures, and it merits people not only making snide remarks, but approaching us and threatening my little 5-year-old boy. That's right. Tonight, grown adults threatened a child over his costume. threatened his mom and dad as well, threatened to rip his outfit off of him, screaming obscenities, scaring a small child. First off, it's none of your business. Second, how dare you? I mean, how dare you threaten a child? Me, it's one thing, but my child, you are messing with fire. I do want to thank people who intervened and for those good people who interacted with us. Yes, liberalism is alive and well, and we had the displeasure of dealing with the fruits of so-called tolerant left. Just for dressing like historical figures. Did I mention which historical figures?
No, you didn't. And I'm sorry, a tolerant left? How is it? Okay, go on, because I'm already so mad.
He dressed his son up like Adolf Hitler, and he was dressed like a Nazi SS officer.
And how Halloween of them.
Yes.
He's shocked that he sees goblins and ghouls and ghosts on Halloween.
Well, then that's his thing, saying, well, then why can't I be this figure?
So it might have
because
something...
Because it's inappropriate.
Right.
It's wildly inappropriate. It might also have to do with all those other people being fictional and never having tortured and killed thousands of people over mm-hmm. the years. I mean, you could line up ghouls from here until the end of the earth. Those ghouls didn't gas people in Germany during World War II. So right. maybe that's part of
yeah.
it.
Yeah. You can dress up like that when you're doing a reenactment of the death of Adolf Hitler, maybe.
And he has a daughter with him. Who is she supposed to be dressed as?
Ava?
Ava Braun?
Is it?
I can't tell. She looks like she's wearing what looks like a tuxedo costume for some reason.
Oh, no, she has a dress
Wasn't
on.
There a,
is it a dress?
There was
I've
one
seen
of the,
a bow tie and a jacket.
One of the doctors, I think, was a woman, right? One of the... horrific.
One of the SS people?
SS people who did experiments, I feel like, was a woman.
Maybe. Yeah,
well,
maybe.
No one should be yelling at the kid because the kid didn't dress himself.
Right.
Yell at the dad because the dad put
right.
that kid
Absolutely.
In that.
Never. Yeah, never. It's
and
never the child's fault.
It isn't. It is not. You're looking like, well first of all, an adult shouldn't be yelling at a kid ever.
Right.
Right.
And no one hopefully touched them or did anything. But I'm sorry, if you're going to dress like that,
you're going to get some
you're
criticism.
You're going to get some criticism.
Right.
Here's For God's sake, a girl walked into the bathroom yesterday at the United Center the wrong way, and a couple girls, they came in the wrong end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People blew up.
I don't blame them because, and these girls were
Complete
like
anarchy.
Ignoring them. They're just washing their, like, they didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
So it's just, I said to myself again, what is wrong with people?
Right.
And how do you just do that and think you can get away with it, which you did?
I don't know. Here's the full story. This is from Huffington Post this morning. A Kentucky father who donned a Nazi uniform and dressed his son, once again, a five-year-old boy, as Adolf Hitler for Halloween.
The kid doesn't know. I'm sorry. I'm...
Oh, I don't think... No, right.
He knows now. What was that all about, Daddy?
Yeah.
I wonder what Daddy told him what that it was all about.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, it says here he has now apologized. The father has apologized. Bryant Goldbach wore the costumes to Owen Burroughs' Trail of Treats event on Thursday. This according to local ABC affiliate WEHT. When photos of the father and the five-year-old were uploaded to Facebook, they sparked an immediate backlash. Who'd have thought? Bryant Goldbach posted this image to Facebook last week. It's a picture of him dressed as an SS officer, his arm around his son, dressed like Adolf Hitler.
Complete with a little mustache.
Yeah. And his daughter, and we can't determine exactly who his daughter is supposed to be. Goldbach initially tried to defend his choice, writing that anyone who knows us knows that we love our history and often dress the part of historical figures.
Except when it's inappropriate to do so.
And you go out in public and people don't know you.
That's right.
You know, what do you expect?
Even if you did know, let's say you knew this guy like he was your best friend.
You'd still be like, no,
I don't think that's a good idea for the
And you know what, though? 20 years ago, that would have been okay.
Do you think so?
Yes.
I don't think so.
There was a time where it was, yeah, and people still did the black faces.
Didn't
and
Prince Harry dress like an SS
yes!
officer at some point?
Yes. It just...
He got...
But here's what
he
happened.
Got admonished.
Yeah. Even back then. But I mean, still, you could do it now, and it's not like, oh, everyone's so sensitive. No. We're more intelligent.
And there are more things that we should be sensitive about.
Right. Exactly. And I'm so... Yeah. How about, you know, there's been a shooting at a synagogue. The Jewish community is petrified.
Right.
And I don't blame them.
No.
I really don't.
It's unbelievable.
Now, the timeline is this took place on Thursday, the shooting of the synagogue. Now, I'm not trying to make sense of this. I'm saying
right,
timeline
right.
wise.
Right, right.
Like, I don't know. Let's say that it was reversed. Would Mr. Goldbach say, "Wow, in light of what just happened?"
I'm sure he was just. No, this is what we're doing.
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say he might.
If he had a backup costume ready.
Yeah, I just feel like in this day and age, how do you not know?
Right.
Even Mussolini would, because you know what? Nobody would know who he was. Right. How do you not know that that's going to garner some?
You're going to get some
displeasure
comments
in the public. Exactly.
Right. Goldbach said that his son was threatened by people at Owensboro's Trail of Treats event. While Goldbach dressed as a Confederate soldier for Halloween last year, he denied being a racist, referring to white supremacy as disgusting. I wasn't trying to make a statement.
It is disgusting, it is I tell you.
This white supremacy is disgusting. I wasn't trying to make a statement or put my son in any position.
Then why did you?
Then why? Yeah, what are
knew.
You doing? Is
I'm
that your
sorry.
Halloween costume? I mean... No, you are making a statement.
I think you are making
even it. Even if you think your statement is, I love history.
Right. You would have to explain that to every single person. Right. I know what I'm wearing looks
yes,
a little suspect.
I'm just historical. I love history.
Right.
You might as well carry a sign
right.
because there's no other reason.
He goes on to tell the Owensboro Times, it was bad judgment. I want people to know I am sorry. Now, that's interesting that there's usually with an apology like that, there's always a little, but
yeah.
It's important for people to understand history, and I was trying to, but I'm not getting that here.
Good.
Prior to its closure, Goldbach's Facebook page was riddled with slogans such as white pride doesn't mean hate, and being liberal means being a hypocrite. Although Goldbach did not respond to a request for comment, a series of screenshots were provided to Huffington Post of various anti-Semitic comments made by his wife, Marianne, following the incident.
Marianne, well, was she out of town when he got the outfits together?
Maybe.
You did what?
Marianne,
did you say anti-Semitic comments from her?
Yeah.
Oh. There we go.
Marianne Goldbach made a series of anti-Semitic comments on Facebook posts relating to the incident. Here's what she says. This is what the mass media has portrayed as the Hala hoax. So she's combining.
Okay. We're done.
She's combining Holocaust and hoax. Well played.
Did she spell it correctly?
She spelled it. No, she spelled it right. Yeah, her husband has some problems with the spelling. He's into history. He's not into spelling, Judy.
Right.
History was his class.
I'm very happy to hear that.
Me too. So happy.
I didn't
together.
Realize she was on the same page as he was.
That yeah.
That these
well,
poor
here
kids.
It is. What her comment says it all.
Yep.
We're done.
The truth is the media is controlled by Zionists. The so-called gas chambers were delousing showers.
All right, so all of a sudden,
wow. And did
he
I, did
seems
I mention,
more normal than she does.
But it's yeah. always a matter of intelligence. If you're intelligent, you cannot believe that the Holocaust was a hoax.
Yeah.
You can't.
I agree with you.
The facts are staring at you. You cannot believe that.
I know I told you, Wendy, Judy, I don't think you were in for this part. I was working one time. I did a TV show for a year that was, the point of the TV show was about gambling, like, you know, how to bet on pro football, pro basketball, whatever. So one of the actors on the show, we were in between takes and we were talking about something, he and I and a couple of the other actors. And he goes, it's one of those made up things, you know, like Bigfoot or the Holocaust. And he wasn't kidding around. And I go, wait. One of those made up things like Bigfoot or the Holocaust. He goes, yeah, you know how a lot of people want you to believe a certain thing, so they'll throw. I go, and you're throwing the Holocaust in there? And he goes, yeah. He goes, you don't think the Holocaust happened to you? And I go, God, yes. I go, there's
how
a billion bits.
It happened.
He was adamant that it was made up. And I go, do me a favor. I go, do a little research on this. He goes, oh, I've done research. It's made up. I go, it's so not made up. I can't
people,
even have this
people,
argument with you.
Like, experienced it.
Yeah.
People are still alive.
There's a billion bits of evidence that it existed. But he goes, no, it's one of those made up things. Oh, well, tell that to the people who lost loved ones in it.
Right.
That they should stop grieving because it never took place. Please explain that to them.
I mean, not the couple hundred, couple thousand, couple ten. The millions.
It's
millions
awful.
Of people.
How can anyone think? I mean, I know I sound really uninformed, but I can't believe for a minute that someone would truly believe that.
But right. We were talking about that earlier in the newsroom, that there are people now who, and people I know, who are so, we're so divided, especially politically, that I know people so far to the right that they do believe things that are not true. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I'm a reporter, and I sit there, I'm like, wait, no, I can assure you, I can give you facts, I can back it up.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter. They believe what they want.
Their mind is made up.
Yes. And I don't just mean, you know, I brought up the rift between the political parties. I'm sure there are people like this who just,
sure,
for what, you know, but it just seems like this family, we didn't really hear about them that much. Now we're hearing about them all the time.
But you
this
said,
this kind of person,
you know, that you were kind of shocked that automatically he's like, well, I'm sorry. He apologized without any to do.
Right.
But the thing is, he's now a household name. It's like now all of a sudden he mm-hmm. can go, look, I'm a, you know, yeah. I'm a, I went viral.
But I think he's apologizing because if he's seemed that really upset about how his children were treated, well, what do you think is going to happen now?
Mm-hmm.
Now I think that's why the apology comes
so
out.
So his motivation for this apology is, please leave my kid
well,
alone.
Well, I don't know, because hearing his wife's comments,
she made it
and
worse.
I'm sorry, those were after this all happened.
Oh, yeah. And she made even more. I didn't even read all of them. There's more.
Because here I was kind of giving the guy the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Now, after hearing the wife,
no.
Okay. Unless you divorce her
right.
and take the kids, no.
Right.
Well,
right.
I'm giving the guy benefit of the doubt now that I hear what his wife is like.
Right.
Because really.
Right.
But that's what I mean. No, how could you be married to someone like that if that's not what you believe?
Marianne Goldbach also has tweeted this. This is after the incident with her husband and son. The Jewish community wants us all to feel sorry for them to get more money and power. They're the ones who control the banks and the mass media and the government at large. And then there's more. There's
wow. Where
there's
have we heard that
much.
Before?
I just don't understand why anyone would talk about this. Like, why would you give them any kind of attention? It's just unheard of that someone talks like this. I can't believe she means that sincerely. Is she just trying to get people to talk about her?
See,
I don't get this.
No, because in her mind, it's justification for all this.
And I feel like we wouldn't be talking about this 2 years, 3 years, 4, 5 years ago, because
no one would have.
They wouldn't say that. Yeah. They wouldn't even dare say that. Now they do dare and say that. As a matter of fact, they say that with pride. And what happens? Nothing. And there are people who agree with them.
Yeah,
that's the society we now live in.
What would you do? Let's say this little kid, this 5-year-old kid, shows up at your house on Halloween. He rings the doorbell. You give candy to one kid, you give candy, and then you notice that there's a kid dressed like Hitler. What do you do?
What do you do other than you look at the parent and go, are you seriously
right.
making
if
your kid wear this?
There, yeah.
You couldn't
not
say
there,
anything to the kid.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. I think that would be horrible. If a 5-year-old kid
shows up,
like, you know, what are you going to, you're not going to yell
I
at a little kid.
I'm not going to yell at him, but I might say something.
It would be fun
like,
to just go,
that
oh,
is,
who are
yeah.
you dressed up as? Oh, I don't know who that is. Why don't you explain it to me to see what they have to say? That would be interesting to
Adolf
me.
Adolf Hitler, he's mythical. He never, you know, that's a hoax.
No, you can't.
Adolf
that,
hoax?
That makes it worse,
I know.
Though.
But I mean, it's just, I think I would say something. Yes, I would absolutely say something.
What? I mean, you can't call the police.
No, but I could say, I hope you understand that that's a totally inappropriate. That's a wrong. You should never dress like that. That
you
was
would
a horrible
say it to
man.
A little kid?
Absolutely. If his father was standing there, yes.
What if the father wasn't standing there?
I would still say it. And then the father maybe would come to my door.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, and I do say that, I really mean that, because in my life when I was younger, I didn't say things a lot, you know, especially when people would use inappropriate words and I would be embarrassed for them, but I wouldn't now. I always say it. I force myself to say something, and it's very uncomfortable and hard, but I do. When people do something wrong, I call them out.
Yeah,
I do. And especially if it's racism, I just can't. I can't
tolerate it anymore. Did stand up, I can't tell you how many times after a show, you know, people would talk to you after the show, and I got so many times, hundreds of times, hey, I got a joke for you.
Oh, gosh, I bet.
And then it would come out racist or sexist or both. And I would just go, I don't need to hear any more of it. Like that.
They
and I go, wait, I'm not done yet. No, you're done. I don't need to hear it.
Exactly. I have actually said to people I know privately, I've gone up to them and said, you can't say that.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't be saying that. And I don't want you to ever say that in front of me again.
Yeah, good.
And certainly not at my house.
Good.
I just walk away because I don't want to start, depending on who it is, if it's a family member.
Yeah.
I just
remove
myself from the room. Like, really? I'll
say
something like
that. You have to say something. You have to now.
Just to let them know.
Maybe before you didn't, because like I said, it just, people had more restraint.
Yeah.
Because I won't say common sense. They just had more restraint. Even if they thought that or wanted to say it, they didn't. And okay, because, you know, and you're right. I still like these people, but I can't tolerate it anymore.
Yeah.
It's just because, you know, they now, I feel like, have a platform, and I won't let that happen. Yeah. No, it's still wrong, even though
sure.
so many of you are out there now,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
banding
yeah.
together.
Yep. Judy, thanks for hanging out.
Are you
appreciate
sure?
it. Oh, positive. Positive.
Always a pleasure.
By the way, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
You know why I like you hanging out? Because it always makes me look nicer. That's why I like having you here.
And you know why I call people out now? Because I'm an old lady.
Yeah.
That's why.
Live it up. All right, we'll take a break, and then we'll close things off. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, please, everybody, be nice to each other. Please think through your Halloween costumes this year.
Yes. Solid advice.
That's why I hate Halloween.
Is that the reason why?
I just am too old to
Come
dress
on.
Up. You know, I can go as a witch very easily. Shut up.
I didn't say anything. I thought it. I didn't say it. And that's how the show ends today, everybody. Tomorrow, comedian Robert Klein joins us, and a guy that took a ride with Thor.
Yeah, hitchhiking gets picked up by Thor. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that doesn't happen every day, right? So
nope.
We'll talk to both of those guys, probably in separate incidents. I hope. We'll see how it plays out. That's it. Thanks for listening. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.